Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Can read out. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and it is an honor to be with all of you today across the American Redoubt and outside the wire in occupied territory. Thank you for tuning in with us. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your prayers, your support. Wow, what a crazy last 24 hours. How do we start unraveling all of this? Well, I have a plan, an attack plan, no pun intended, to kind of examine what it is that we're up against and what's happening over in Paris. I'm going to tie that in with what I was already planning on talking about. This is very timely because of some of the arguments from those who don't see eye to eye with the way you and I think. And we, of course, you know, we're thinking as, you know, God-fearing, liberty-minded American patriots. So I'm going to get into all of that. And I want to remind you also, you can follow us over on Facebook.com/Radio Free Redoubt. Go ahead and like us there at Facebook so you can follow along, because besides myself and the volunteer partisans of Radio Free Redoubt, we keep content up there continuously to keep you apprised on things that are going on in the world. And so I want to encourage you to go check that out. Also, we are still short of our goal for expanding to the second half hour over there at for those of you who are listening right now on the American Christian Network, I want you to check that out. Go to radiofreereadout.com, click on support or donate, and pledge. But please earmark that for ACN to help us to be able to purchase the other half hour so we can be on the whole network from 11 to noon. Right now we're on the whole hour on KTW AM 630 out of Spokane. So we really need your help with that. And, of course, all of our live streaming listeners out there, welcome once again. I'm going to give you the phone number in case anybody wants to weigh in on what we're talking about. But this one, I don't know, you might just want to sit back and just kind of listen. But the number is 1-877-999-7684. And let's get right into it because we've got a lot of material to cover. So let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out. And also an audiobook about the collapse and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Okay, as we all know, there are at least 140 up to 160 citizens killed in Paris last night from a very highly coordinated terrorist attack by Islamists, screaming Allahu Akbar, and this is for Syria. As far as we know so far, there are approximately eight attackers. We're aware of eight attackers with suicide vests, grenades, automatic weapons who hit multiple targets, at least seven sites that we're aware of so far. Of course, this is continuously unfolding. Even still, this is, you know, 12 hours old. They hit a concert venue. They hit a soccer stadium where the president of France was present, along with several other delegates from around the world, from various countries, because of the global warming cult meeting that they were having or getting ready to have this weekend. And they hit a restaurant, a bar, shopping centers. I don't know. There's seven locations right now. ISIS is claiming responsibility, but get this, they're calling Paris attacks the first storm. The Islamic State claimed responsibility on Saturday for the catastrophic attacks in the French capital, calling them the first storm and mocking France as a capital of prostitution and obscenity, which we already knew that. According to statements released in multiple languages on one of the terror group's encrypted messaging accounts. InfoWars is also reporting that, and actually this is being confirmed elsewhere, but one of the attackers had a Syrian passport. And this, they tracked it down, and this guy apparently was an asylum seeker running for his life from the war-ravaged homeland to seek a new life in Europe. He's a Syrian refugee carrying out a jihadi Islamic attack under the banner of ISIS, who arrived in Greece in October, just last month. The country's Ministry of Public Order and Citizens Protection has confirmed that the terrorist found was had a Syrian passport on his person, registered as a refugee on Leros Island in October. So now they're under a state of emergency. And this is interesting. As soon as this happened, the French president jumps up and he declares a state of emergency, which means martial law, curfews in place, and demands that all flights are averted. And for a while, trains were stopped. And get this, close the borders. Seal the borders immediately. We're under attack. Now, I just sat there when I saw this come across this intelligence feed that I get. And I'm sitting there thinking, these people are now under the soldiers are pouring out of the Trojan horse. They're pouring out into the city, carrying out their assault, and then they say, quick, close the gates. And ISIS, and how many other imams have we seen saying this is what they are going to do? This is their intent. They're going to take over Europe. They're going to dominate Europe. They are going to purge Europe of Christendom, and they're going to insert Islam. And it will rule. We're going to cut your throats. Your blood is going to flow in the streets. They've been saying this. Well, do you think it was just rhetoric? It's not rhetoric. These Europeans have grossly miscalculated their enemy. Well, first of all, they didn't recognize him as an enemy. And so afterward, then they decide to seal the borders. After the invaders are already inside the gates. Well, Poland is sealing its borders. They're joining Hungary. God bless Hungary. The European redoubt. That's where God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots are fleeing to. It's a Christian nation. And they are going to Hungary because the rest of Europe has fallen. Hungary, that's the European redoubt. Make it there if you can, our European listeners. And thank you guys for tuning in, too. It's good to hear from you guys throughout the week. In light of the Paris terrorist attacks, Poland cannot go ahead with European Union decisions on immigration and accept refugees without a guarantee of security. Konrad Szymanski, Poland's prospective minister for European affairs, told the reporters that Poland is a key condition that today we must put under a giant question mark in all of Europe. I hope it's not too late for them, because they're talking about taking 7,000 refugees in from Syria and Eritrea over the next 2 years. So hopefully this will be a wake-up call for them. You know what else is interesting? Last week, CIA director of the United States met with the French security chief and Mossad, which is the CIA equivalent of, you know, in Israel. it makes you wonder how much I would love to have been a mouse in the corner. How much did these guys know beforehand? Pamela Geller's continuing to do a great job of covering the invasion over there. They're trying to duplicate here now with this socialist. Oh, it's like Obama's twin. If he had a twin, he would look just like Canada's new prime minister. Socialist. Already, they've got Air Canada or Canadian Airlines, which one of their airlines, immediately, as soon as he took office, they got flights, commercial flights, shuttling immigrants in, Islamic immigrants. There's a pretty good video expose showing his ties to Islam. Is a very high probability that the Canadian prime minister is Muslim. And Trudeau, isn't that interesting? I mean, this is spiritual war, so it shouldn't really surprise us, but, well, it's just more evidence. Germany's new normal, people can't even leave their homes now. Migrants go into churches to disrupt service. They walk in, they start to riot. They are disrupting church services over there in Germany. Girls are not even allowed to go to school. They're keeping their kids home from school. German Teachers Union warns girls to stay away from Muslim migrants. I don't think we have enough time to get into it, but there is a video that we just posted on the invasion. It's a great summarization of the intent of this Islamic invasion, exposing it for what it is. It's on radiofreeredoubt.com. I want you to go watch it. This is something every American needs to watch. You need to understand what we're truly up against. And I'll reiterate that. But go check that out at radiofreeredoubt.com. Folks, our lifestyle is under attack. We got a fight ahead of us. I'm going to talk about a couple more articles right out of the American Readout when we come back. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Readout.
Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here with your Eye on the Economy Minute. Do you remember the continuing resolution? Oh, you don't? Well, that's because it probably has been a very busy year with all the financial news and commentaries I bring you every week. But this next week could prove interesting again as the budget fight is beginning to ramp back up. Congress needs to pass a continuing resolution to avoid a government shutdown next week. But most Republicans are opposed to any sort of continuing resolution that doesn't strip the funding from Planned Parenthood. And now that Speaker Boehner is resigning, it could present some pretty interesting problems. One of the biggest amongst those is the Treasury. It needs to increase the debt limit in November, and that's before continuing any sort of resolution. Our credit card is maxed out and way beyond its limit. And the fact that the Treasury has kept the balance on the debt, especially on their balance sheet, frozen for the last few weeks, is proving just how deep in debt and how much trouble we're in. Want to hear more? Listen this Sunday as I break down the news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute with Fox 519.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is Radio Free Readout, putting out truth and the message of freedom for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots across the American Readout and in occupied territory. Thank you for joining us. Segment 2 is brought to you by Works. Werkz.com, W-E-R-K-Z, for your custom holster and magazine pouches. It's a Kydex-style custom-made holster made right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee and very competitively priced. Go check them out at Werkz.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z.com. And also, don't forget to use your coupon code John Jacob for your discount. Now, right before we went into the break, I was just wrapping up the news. I got a couple other things I wanted to cover. Regional news and also an update. Apparently in Paris, the Paris prosecutor is saying that there are now officially 129 dead. So they've revised that. 352 injured in Paris and 99 of them are in critical condition. So the death toll could continue to rise. But let's go back over here to the American Readout. Last week, we talked about a rancher who was killed by two deputies when they were all responding to one of the rancher's bulls being hit by a car. The sheriffs have riddled the bull with bullets. And so the rancher went up to put, coup de grace into the bullets, the back of the bull's head. And something happened. Apparently, some eyewitness reports are saying one of the deputies leaned forward and grabbed the rancher, spun him around, and the gun went off. And then the deputies jumped back and opened fire on the rancher and killed him right there in front of his family. So the FBI has now opened up an investigation along with the Idaho State Police, and they are going to look at this whole situation and investigate it thoroughly to make sure that justice happens. We don't know. We weren't there, but I'm thankful that some authorities are taking this seriously enough to investigate to make sure to sort out all these different stories and versions of what happened. But I just want to bring you guys up to speed on that. The Idaho State Board of Academics, Education, Association, I can't remember what it's called. They've got a plan to start tracking parents. Besides asking the legislature to avoid expanding parental rights, this resolution takes a pretty big brother step. The Pocatello-Chubbuck School District's resolution wants the ISBA to track parents who use this new law giving parents rights. This bill that passed 37 to 31. So they want to be able to track parents who use this parental rights law. So tracking the troublemakers and malcontents. Can anyone say Stasi? Interesting. Okay. Now, this is what I had lined up. I wanted to start getting into. I don't pound the Second Amendment gun drum a whole lot. And this is why. That's such an easy button to get people riled up over. My concern is that people get so excited about fighting for gun rights that they allow all the other rights to be stripped away. Because as long as I got my guns, I don't care if I lose my freedom of speech, right to reasonable searches without a warrant, wiretapping. Just let me keep my guns. That's a dangerous thing for us to slip into. All of our rights are equally important to defend. But also, along with those, the Second Amendment, that should just be as equally fought for. The Coeur d'Alene Pravda over in Coeur d'Alene, they have just jumped on this left-wing bandwagon, and they are anything but balanced. They really do give the Coeur d'Alene, the Seattle Times a run for their money. As far as if they were in a contest about who could advance the left causes, the most aggressively, they're giving the Seattle Times and the Portland newspapers a run for their money. But they've got this My Turn section, and there's a guy who writes an article in there, anti-gun. And it's just dripping with – I could just picture this blathering, saliva-slinging anti-gun control nut as he's typing away, hunched over his keyboard. But I don't know. That's not very Christian-like, I know. But And this is what I struggled with. I mean, because look, as a Christian, we want to fight these things, and this angers us, and we fight. Matter of fact, sometimes I feel unchristian-like thoughts when I see this agenda coming after our heritage and our Christian beliefs and our constitution. And but see, if I wasn't a Christian, this probably wouldn't bother me. See the dichotomy we're in? So I was doing my a Bible study, and I come across this, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. It says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So I'm thinking, I want to just, I had it all, man, I was all riled up. Last night I was going through this letter, and I had how I wanted to respond, and I'm just going to shred this guy, which is so easy to do. But then, you know, the scripture kept gnawing at me, you know, just a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. So I'm struggling here, and I prayed about how to approach this. So I'm going to do my best in you know, a Christian spirit, but also we have to be firm. We have to be resolute, which they will call intolerant, narrow-minded, bullheaded, whatever you want to call it. But I call it resolution. We have to have resolve. We have to stand firm for our values and our beliefs and the law of the land. So I'm just saying all that to set this up. And if I run out of time, which I probably will, I just want to remind the listeners, we are on KTW 630 AM, the full hour. So if you're listening on ACN, until we can raise the funds to get over there for the full hour, if you guys want to go over to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the listen, you can listen to the live streaming at through the Liberty Broadcasting Service. Or you can go to acn.cc and, you know, listen there, the live streaming. So let me read through this. It will just keep going until we run out of time. I'll pick it up for the rest of the half hour. "As a responsible firearms owner, I do not understand the need for people to stockpile firearms and ammunition, nor do I see the need for military-grade weapons or to pack firearms wherever I go." So you see the rhetoric here. It's just like almost – it's hyperbole. Okay. He doesn't understand the need. So let's apply this weak-minded, fallacious logic to other things. He doesn't see the need for you to have certain guns or to carry all the time or whatever. He doesn't understand. So I guess the Second Amendment just goes out the window because he doesn't understand why you need something or you choose something. But how would it sound if we applied it to cars? Let's say this. "As a responsible driver, I don't understand the need for people to own cars with over a 300-horsepower engine or cars capable of going over 100 miles an hour. Nor do I see the need for racetrack-grade cars, or for that matter, why do we have to drive everywhere we go? How about this? As a responsible business owner, I don't understand why people need to grow their business to the point where the owners make more than $100,000 per year. Or the need to have 15, 20, 30, or 50 employees. Or as a responsible parent, I don't understand why people need to have more than two children." So what they're doing is they're projecting their misunderstanding or lack of understanding as a standard for other people that they must follow. Does that make sense? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But you know what I'm saying. Because here's the thing. It's their freedom to choose so, and their constitutionally protected God-given right of self-defense. It is a right, not a regulated privilege. And your lack of understanding of that is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if you don't understand that. It's busybodies like you who are the reason patriots are strategically relocating from the People's Democratic Republic of Californistan to get away from people like you. Unlike you, they moved here to the American Redoubt from Seattle and Portland, not because it's so beautiful, but because of the freedom still found here. And you don't like it, which means you don't belong here. You can pack your crap and move back to the utopia every freedom-loving patriot is fleeing from.
Wonder how we got to this point in America when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, revrealty.us, and may God bless you.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
Thank you for tuning in to the Voice of the American Redoubt. We are now, right now, on KTW AM 630 and live streaming. Thank you to the ACN audience who gravitated over here to listen to the other half hour. And for those that were listening in their cars driving around town and we vanished, I'm sorry. We're working on it. We're trying to get over there, guys. We really are. But we need your help. This is a listener-supported program. And you guys are just – this is the most awesome audience. The listening, I've developed so many friends. Matter, I don't have time for the friends that I have. I feel bad, but just the relationships that have been formed out of this whole adventure has just been an amazing thing. And you guys continuously pray over me, pray for protection, pray for guidance, clarity, discernment. And I am not perfect. But I do my best. And you know what? My heart's in the right place. I want to glorify God. I want to edify the church. I want to encourage the believers. I want to spread the gospel. And I just want to please Him. but I also want to stand against evil. I want to stand against wickedness. And I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to embrace it. I'm going to stand up against it. I'm going to call it out. We have to. There's too much at risk. And that brings me back to this letter that I was going over from the Coeur d'Alene Pravda. My turn. This guy going on this rant about gun owners. Although he calls himself a responsible gun owner. But people who have combat rifles are not responsible. I don't know, because the last time I checked, 150 million gun owners killed no one yesterday. But we need reasonable measures. No, they don't. Reasonable would be stop separating our children from God, first of all. Anyway, let's get back to this. He says, personally, it just doesn't make any sense in this day and age. For one thing, the government is not the threat. I missed something. No, this is what he says. For one thing, the government is not the threat. It is the people you send. And in Idaho, we've seen some real oddballs. Did that make sense to you guys? It didn't make sense to me. Okay, so he doesn't think it makes any sense that we need to have all kinds of guns and ammunition, because in this day and age, for one thing, the government is not the threat, he says. Okay, if any time in history we needed the means to defend ourselves in abundance, it's this day and age. And he says, the government is not the threat. Really? The government is not the threat. Well, that's not what the American people think. Let's look at this new Gallup poll. 72% say big government, biggest threat. 72%. Over on Politico, the Gallup poll says, showing an overwhelming majority of Americans agree with Civitas Institute that the biggest threat to the country's future is big government. Nearly three quarters of Americans identify big government as the greatest threat to the country's future, according to a new poll. Check this out. Chapman University, they did a study. 2015, America's top fears, 2015. Number one, corruption of government officials. That's at 50%, either afraid or very afraid of government corruption. Followed by cyber terrorism, corporate tracking of personal information, then terrorist attacks, and then more government. Government tracking of personal information. So in the list of the top five, the government makes two of the top five list and number one for America's fears. But what's this? What is the government afraid of? Who do they perceive as the enemy? Who is our government training up to go up against as an enemy? Just 2 weeks after it announced a plan to globalize local police departments through the Strong Cities Network, which is a UN-driven program, the Obama administration has added a new tool in its fight against violent extremism. Not terrorism, not ISIS, not cartels, not Al-Qaeda. Violent extremism. Very vaguely, very vague title. And the Obama administration has listed the so-called right-wing extremists as the biggest threat on American soil. The number one national security threat we face, according to them, is global warming, climate change. Can you believe that? The madness. The new position at the Justice Department, dubbed the Domestic Terrorism Council, has developed the Strong Cities. And John Whitehead, from the founder of the Rutherford Institute, he's also a longtime constitutional attorney. He said they're not stupid enough to dress up UN police in blue helmets. They'll use local police. The UN officials will move into the fusion centers and run it through Strong Cities networks. This is one big program you're looking at, very large, he says. And this is all oriented toward dealing with extremists. Now, who are the right-wing extremists? According to the Department of Homeland Security's own documentation, returning veterans, homeschoolers, Second Amendment advocates, constitutionalists, their own words, fundamentalist Christians, those who vote for third-party candidates, those who fly the Gadsden flag or other flags that were from historical, you know, American Revolution. Of course, now we need to add the Confederate battle flag to that as well. Anti-illegal immigration activists, pro-traditional marriage activists. These are the right-wing extremists. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which is brought in as a subject matter expert on domestic terror threats, is briefing our government in agencies that the Family Council, the Free American Family Council, I don't have that right in front of me. Because of their stance on traditional marriage, is an right-wing extremist group, which, of course, led to somebody going in there on a shooting rampage trying to kill people at the American Family Institute or Association. I got to look that up. But while our government was turned inward, looking at right-wing extremists, Christians – of course, they use sovereign citizens first, but then they branch out because we're okay. Look, I'm not in one of these wacko sovereign citizen type of people, so that doesn't apply to me. Yeah, I know what they mean. No, you don't know what they mean if you don't think that they mean also you. Anybody who goes against this globalist system, they bring it all in. I mean, come on, the American Family Institute. The FBI has confirmed it has active ISIS investigations in all 50 states. But ISIS is not mentioned in any of this. Biggest threat that we face is domestic homeland. It's ISIS. The FBI is investigating in all 50 states, and it's not mentioned by this administration. What is right-wing extremists as the biggest threat? And Islamic-inspired attacks have occurred in recent years in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Garland, Texas, Fort Hood, Texas. Other examples include the Boston Marathon bombing and the Oklahoma City beheading of a Christian woman. There's a ton of them. And in this day and age, it's not the government that's the threat. Then why are they calling us the threat? We're minding our own business, and they say, you know what, those guys over there, they want to seal our borders. They keep talking about the Constitution. They don't want reasonable gun law. Those guys are extremists. We better prepare our intelligence and homeland security efforts and focus it on them. Okay, back to this letter. He says, second, does anyone believe motley gangs of middle-aged, mostly white men with pot bellies are a match to the United States military? Get a grip. A few days and you'd be back to the Snickers, easy chair, and television. Besides, what would be the goal? Armed insurrection tearing apart the nation? Motley gangs of middle-aged, mostly white men with pot bellies. He describes us? Who's he talking to? I'm surprised he didn't throw in heterosexual. And when did it become a crime when patriots gather to stand for freedom? And you look around and realize that they happen to be mostly white. Is that supposed to disqualify the legitimate grievances of patriots in Idaho and Washington and the American Redoubt? Well, because they look around and, oh, it's like 9 out of 10 of us are white. Oh, let's all go home. We can't continue on. This is injustice. Social injustice is taking place here. So let's just forget about our rights. What does white men with pot bellies have anything to do with our government trying to disarm people? Is this some kind of, I don't know, maybe it's some type of race baiting trap that he's trying to throw out there. Well, I'm not going for it. We are not falling for it. The color of any patriot's skin is irrelevant. People here want to be free from tyranny and from the tyranny of self-appointed busybodies who want to tell us there should be reasonable limitations to our freedoms. It's not Christian patriots who are shooting up schools. It's not Christian patriots shooting up shopping malls, military recruiting centers, and businesses. So why do you care how many cars or kids or houses or guns they have? I know black and Latino patriots who are armed to the hilt too, and they're God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, and they consider you, white, pasty liberal, constitution hater, to be as big of a threat to them as the government. And you don't believe in owning combat rifles, and they do. So that puts you in a pretty tough spot, doesn't it? Ah, that's why you don't want patriots to be armed, isn't it? Because you don't want anyone to be able to resist the anti-American utopia you'd like to spread, like a cancer, here in the American Redoubt. Secondly, I'm wondering where this guy comes up with the notion that the American patriots of any sort, pot-bellied or physically fit, are planning to match up against the U.S. military. Where do these people get this from? Are you sure you even have the right enemy defined? Because it sounds like you're talking about ISIS. And you also underestimate how many patriots there are in our military, like most of them. Most of the patriots you're maligning are veterans who have served in the military themselves and have sons and daughters and friends and brothers and spouses in the U.S. military. I think you made some gross miscalculations. Pointing to gun owners who feel the necessity to own a combat rifle and say, oh, you're trying to cause division. You're no match for our military. What? Who says where does this come from even? And what God-honoring Christian patriot is trying to tear the country apart? Show them to me. This is the bizarre, parted, twisted part of this person's logic. Christian patriots say, hey, we don't want you to tear down the Ten Commandments that have been standing in front of that courthouse for decades. They say, hey, we don't want you teaching our kids in school that Christianity should be banned and Islam hailed and taught in school. Christian patriots are saying, hey, we invoke the Second Amendment protections for us to decide how to best provide for the safety and protection of our families and our communities. And then you say, these are the new rules, phooey on your heritage, this is the new America. And then you say, what, are you anti-government or something? When the government is violating the law of the land. And we support the law of the land, and now we're anti-government. Some type of extremists. Hey, are you hateful or are you intolerant? Hey, are you white? I don't even know where this stuff comes from, these people, their arguments. Well, we're not buying into it. We're not self-censoring out of fear of some label that you want to put on us to control us. You're in patriot territory. You are in the American Redoubt. So repent and assimilate or take your poisonous doctrines and get out. Do I sound unchristian-like saying get out? I'm not. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We should reprove them. We should show them the error of their ways out of love. But we're talking about error. This is, you know, at some point, David facing Goliath. I mean, Goliath just wasn't going to, he wasn't feeling the love. He just didn't want to say, you know what, let's get on. He's like, I'm going to tear you people apart. I hate what you stand for. I hate your God. I like my God where we can sacrifice children after having sex with them. And yeah, our way is better. And you Israelites, we hate you and I'm just going to kill all of you. Well, there comes a point when you just got to deal with the guy. Oh, it's so ungodly of you to sling that slingshot at him and take him down like that. That's not very loving. Is that what Christ would do? No, maybe that's what somebody whose heart is after God would do, though. He says, face it, most Americans do not have the same goals as the so-called 3% do. Okay, mathematician whiz. That's why they're called the 3%, especially today when we have an entire nation that's turned its back on God. And and our American heritage and our traditional values and the Constitution. They are a minority. They know that. That's why they call themselves the 3%. It was the 3% of American colonialists who were willing to stand against the British, which resulted in the nation of the United States being born, a gift from God. 3%. These people are standing, know that they're outnumbered. They know that most Americans don't have the same goals as freedom-loving, God-fearing patriots. That's why they call themselves a 3% group. It's simple math. That means 97% of the people don't want American heritage and the right for people to own firearms. And 97% of the people are not willing to stand against tyranny. He says, we are mostly happy as a culture, and we understand the need for compromise and trade-offs in society. He says, I understand there are people who need or appreciate the need to carry, not an issue, but don't we need minimum standards to curb access by lunatics? Well, yeah, sounds great, but what happens when the lunatics are running the asylum? He says, there's absolutely no logic in arming every man, woman, and child. Well, I don't know where he gets this either. Arming every man, woman, and child, a free law-abiding citizen who decides for himself how to best provide for the defense of his family and his community is now somehow on a campaign to arm every man, woman, and child. Of course, on the other hand, even the founding fathers of this nation said every citizen is part of the militia and should be armed. And you should raise up your children to use arms from a young age. Those are quotes from our founding fathers. But he likes the idea. He thinks the idea of requiring liability insurance is the solution. He says you can't legally drive a car without proof of insurance. Why should you be able to purchase ammunition and firearms without it? Wow. I don't know what he's planning for. Maybe every citizen should have liability insurance, because there's people that actually think this way. If you can have a firearm and ammunition, you should have liability, mandatory liability insurance. It should be a $100,000 policy or a fine of $25,000 if you don't have liability insurance, if you have a gun. Of course, you know, firearms-related deaths are way down there on the list. Personal injuries, falling off of ladders, death by hammers and other blunt instruments, knives, stabbing, all of these things rate higher than gun deaths. So we're going to make everybody carry a liability insurance policy on themselves? If you trip and you stab somebody in the foot and they got to go get surgery, well, my life, just put it on my insurance. I have knife insurance. I have electrical shock insurance. It can help me wire my garage. I mean, we're going to have to, these people are lunatics. Okay. In the last probably about 10 minutes here, let's talk about something else, which I don't have enough time to go into completely and finish up. I got a comment on something that I said a couple weeks ago about this coach praying on the 50-yard line. This is unacceptable that he is being threatened with his job, that we should stand with him. Somebody posted a comment saying, hey, it goes both ways. If the person was a Muslim, would you stand with them? And I said, no, of course not. Why would I want to advance Islam, something that has set itself against all that is Americanism and all that is Christian and in the Constitution itself? So he writes this. I have to ask, if there was a disabled combat wounded veteran who was third generation native born American, you would not let him exercise his right to pray if he was a Muslim, even though he thought Sharia was something for the inside of the mosque and otherwise swore and spilled his blood to protect the Constitution and our country? That's quite a little scenario laid out. What if he was, well, we could what if ourselves till we're blue in the face. He says, I thought the American Redoubt was trying to preserve and return to liberty as the original meaning of the Constitution, rooted in the Bible, but without religious tests. The oath to defend the Constitution. Do you consider Catholics or Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses Christian? Are they welcome? He says, maybe I'm mistaken about the American Redoubt. Okay, there's a part of our – and he says, I no more want a Lord Protector Cromwell theocracy than I would want Sharia. I want liberty. There's a certain segment of our culture that wants liberty, but they don't want the God thing. I mean the religious thing. I just want liberty. Okay, if you go for liberty, if you try to achieve liberty and leave God out of it, you will have anarchy, which is godless. That's extreme right wing. That's anarchy. Extreme right wing is no law, no government, period. Everybody just does whatever they want. You have anarchy. And if those are not godly people, you're going to have some major problems on your hands. And you have to ask yourself, if you truly want liberty, where does liberty come from in the first place? It's something you just take? Or is it granted to you as a privilege? Well, 2 Corinthians says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of bondage. Liberty, for liberty, Christ has set us free. Jeremiah says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to make a proclamation of liberty to them. Liberty comes from the Lord. If you try to take him out of the equation, you're going to have not liberty, you're going to have anarchy. And you won't have liberty because whoever the anarchist, somebody is going to rise up and take power. They're going to decide what liberties you get. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Our Constitution is only in place as long as it is a government of people who can rule themselves, that don't need to be regulated and controlled. Then you have true liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, just like the Word says. But if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, you can't have liberty because you're acting stupid and require an adult to intervene to keep everybody from fighting and robbing and stealing from each other, because they're not acting godly in the first place. This is why the communists set out to undermine the morals of the United States. They said this is our hugest, biggest barrier to taking down their system is their moral structure, their family, their values, their God. All of these things must be taken out. All of these pillars have to be taken down for America to fall. So that's what they set out to do. And here we are today. And the farther we get from God, the less liberty we have. Are you starting to see the math? Now we have Department of Homeland Security. We have a government spying on us because of extremism, because of godless people that are running around having sex parties in our government at the highest levels. Because they're godless people. We have people in our government taking pictures of their private parts and texting them. At the same time, trying to get guns removed and God removed and the Ten Commandments removed from our schools and from our public places. Because they've misconstrued the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no laws respecting religion. They cannot establish a religion at the Congress level. Well, I don't know how they extrapolated, you know, kids must be hidden from anything Christian, because they certainly don't apply that to Islam. In the schools, They're teaching kids Islam, the five pillars of Islam. But boy, don't talk about God and definitely don't talk about Christ. That's the C word. You don't say that. That's go to the principal's office right now. You mentioned Christ in public school. Now they got to bring in a counselor to talk to all the kids and help them process all this and how to deal with the trauma that they were just exposed to. He says, maybe I was wrong about the American Redoubt. Instead of reestablishing liberty and justice for all citizens, it is or will be tyranny in the name of Jesus. We're out of time. But you know what? I think I'm going to finish talking about this tomorrow. Tomorrow night on our podcast at 8 p.m. I'm going to pick up where we left off. I hate doing that. I hate chopping things up. But this is important. This is important because these kind of doctrines, this type of thinking gets in and it plants a seed in the minds of the patriots and they start thinking, yeah, maybe we should embrace all ways. Maybe the Constitution does say, Islam's got just as much of a right to be right next to us, even though it's incompatible. All right, folks, God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow night right at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. God bless.